Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are setting us up, that you are setting up this church, that you are setting up the church worldwide for its greatest days in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, that as the darkness grows, so does the light, so does the power of light in Jesus' name. I thank you that right now you are turning on a light. You are turning on a light. The light shines in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. I hear the Lord saying, shine, shine. Don't be afraid to shine. You got permission to shine. You've got the power in you to shine. Shine, 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 shine. Come on. Can we give Jesus a mighty hand of praise? Can we do that? Yeah. With the outbreak of the coronavirus, COVID-19, on the rise in many places around the world, people are asking, what do I do next? Many are looking for guidance and answers to make the best decisions possible to protect their families, themselves, their staff, and their communities. While we at Gateway Life Church make no healthcare expertise claims, we believe that sound leadership and communications can equip, encourage, and empower us for our current reality and provide hope. We have considered the recommendations from our Australian government and the Department of Health and are sharing some precautionary measures to put in place and to manage any potential risks, which is the reason for the letter on your seats. These measures are not to cause fear or alarm. We simply want to reassure you that we are committed to your health and well-being and will be praying for everyone at Gateway Life Church and the community. Let's never forget that we remain a people of faith with our hope and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 is a great passage to give us great comfort at this time. And let's never forget the words of God through the prophet Jeremiah when he wrote, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a great future. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you." We will continue to advise you of any further updates in the future. And if you have any questions or concerns, then please feel free to contact our church office or speak to my wife or myself or one of our life group leaders. If you take a look at this letter that's on your seats, you'll find that there are just some practical measures there that you can take. Personally speaking, I'm not alarmed, you know, by what's happening in our world today. And I don't know if you can remember the whole crisis or perceived crisis around the Y2K bug. Remember when it was turning the year 2000 and we had all our keyboard warriors out there and all of our doomsday prophets just declaring the world is going to end? And for some reason, there are some people who just really gravitate to fear. They thrive on fear. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Can I get a big amen? Amen. But of course, you know, there are a number of people around the world today going to extraordinary measures to preserve and to protect themselves. First of all, my heart is just going out to those who don't have toilet paper here. Put your hand up. You know, we're a church that loves to love and serve. And if you need toilet paper, just look to one another. It's a good opportunity to, provide for one another. So as you can see, some people are going to extraordinary measures, locking their toilet paper. Who would have ever thought if somebody had said to us, hey, as you go into the year 2020, you know, toilet paper is going to be an issue. Yeah, like who would ever have thought? I saw a funny meme. It was of an AFL football match. And, you know, both teams naturally are very, you know, they're competing hard for the ball. But someone had taken the ball and animated a toilet roll where the ball was. And so if you can just imagine two teams fighting over a roll of toilet paper. But before we go to the next slide, you know, again, people are going to extraordinary measures, even when it comes to inventing social distance discs. Let's take a look at that. So, yeah, so you can, we're going to have those available for those who want to be very conscious. We're going to call them a GLC, yeah, whatever. And of course, again, people are going to extraordinary measures and just trying to get away from it all as much as they can. Let's take a look at the next photo. Yeah, well, the thing about that is he is actually a carrier, so he's in trouble. You know, I reckon the coronavirus is like the devil. Like, seriously, it's like the devil. You can pretend like, you know, it doesn't exist, but that won't help you. There's a risk in talking about the devil too much, and then there's a risk, you know, in not talking about him at all. But the Bible talks about being awake to the devil's ways and devices, to be aware and to be wise. And that's our approach to the coronavirus. We just want to be aware and wise and take every precaution possible to bring about good leadership in these days and to provide the safest and cleanest environment for you to come and worship the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm really convinced that the greatest battles that we ever fight are the ones that are within us. And if we can figure out how to conquer the darkness on the inside and get it all out, then we can move forward into the light and go all in. Let me tell you something. Your biggest enemy is actually not the devil. Your biggest enemy, my biggest enemy, is the one in the mirror. You know, faith and leadership are not about living within the boundaries of your fears, but faith in leadership is about facing them, running toward them. Greatness is on the other side of facing your fears. And the pathway to your greatest breakthrough and potential is straight through your greatest fear and your greatest pain. I want to tell you that there's a virus that is greater and spreading further than the COVID-19 virus, and that's the virus of fear. You know, how many people don't have the COVID-19, yet they have the virus of fear? People are panicking. I have seen, I haven't spent too much time looking at it, to be honest, but I have seen full-on fights in aisle, whatever it is, where the toilet paper is, and this was between two old ladies. Because of the virus of fear. Fear, anxiety, stress, and worry, I don't know if you've noticed, but they're on the increase in our world today, which are the roots and causes of a troubled heart. Trouble is defined as difficulties, problems, disorder, and unrest. Trouble as a verb, which is a doing word, is defined as to be anxious, disturbed, and worried. Anxiety and worry are not rooted, however, catch this, they're not rooted, however, in reality. I need to say it again. Anxiety and worry are not rooted in reality. However, it affects our reality. Anxiety is worry which projects a negative view of the world around us. In fact, worry is actually an act of faith. Have you ever thought about that? Anxiety, worry, fear, it's an act of faith. It's a deep-seated belief in a worst-case scenario, be it in our relationships, in business, in ministry, or in simply just desiring to exercise some humility and transparency. This is why I say your greatest breakthrough is on the other side of facing your fear. You've heard me preach about this and talk about this for however long you've known me when it comes to me saying, hey, get curious about your fears. Like, that's where I'm a curious animal. get curious about your fears. But in John chapter 14, verse 27, we read the words of Jesus when he said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not allow your hearts to be troubled and do not be afraid." I don't know about you, but it's in times like this when words like this go ring all the more louder, don't you think? Can you see how sometimes it takes a test, it takes some tribulation, it takes a trial for the Word of God to become more alive in our lives today? This is why I said earlier, you know, around our prophetic time that, you know, God is setting us up for our greatest days ahead. The darker it gets, the more opportunity we have to be a light and to shine. And so in this particular passage, with simplicity and wisdom, Jesus cuts through the two things that rob our peace and our faith, which are number one, trouble, which leads to number two, fear, which are also the two enemies of peace and faith. He says, do not allow, do not permit, do not give consent when it comes to your heart being troubled, and do not fear. I personally find irony in the words of the Apostle Paul when he wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he said, "Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing." I know that he means that we should not allow anything to make us anxious, but the truth is, that it's usually nothing that's making us anxious. It's usually nothing. Because remember, you know, anxiety, fear, worry, it's not founded upon reality, but it affects our reality. And when stripped back at its very core, anxiety, worry, and fear are rooted in nothing, or at least nothing we can control. Paul's solution, of course, back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, part B, is, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." It's also interesting to note that in another place, Jesus speaks to his disciples about trouble. Once again, he talks about it twice. We've already read, he said, "Don't allow your hearts to be troubled." And then he says in John chapter 16, verse 33, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, church, and those listening online, this is an important contrast, because first of all, Jesus says, do not allow your hearts to be troubled, but then he says, in this world you will have trouble. So, where do we draw the line here? Well, what he's trying to say is this: we can't control the trouble in our world, but we can always control the trouble that we allow in our hearts. You know, fear is a natural human emotion created by God that protects us from doing foolish things. But like every emotion, it's critical that we hold fear in the right balance within our faith and within our leadership. And as, you know, people of faith and as leaders, we should never be full of fear nor completely be without fear. So let's talk about fearless faith and leadership. Fearless faith and leadership. Now, as you look upon the screen there, you might think that, you know, I've made a mistake in the title. Shouldn't it read fearless faith and fearless leadership? But again, for those listening online, there is like a dash between fear and less. So it reads fearless faith and fearless leadership. In life, all you need to do is actually just fear less. You don't have to be fearless in your faith. You don't have to be fearless in your leadership. You just need to fear less. One of the many ironies of the Christian life is this: if you're struggling with fear in your faith or struggling with fear in your leadership, then the antidote is actually not courage. It's love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 tells us that perfect love casts out fear. Therefore, the way that we discover perfect love is to allow more of God's love into our lives. And as we allow more of God and His love into our lives, there's less room for fear. You know, our theme for this year is All In. And every time we go to the ATM, there's only one way that you're going to be able to withdraw your funds. And that is to take your ATM card and go all the way in. This afternoon, try it, if you want. Try putting your ATM card halfway in and then expect to walk away with some riches. Furthermore, God wants you to know that there are millions upon millions upon millions of spiritual dollars in your spiritual ATM. And the only way that you're going to be able to withdraw anything regarding your inheritance in Christ is to go all in. You can't go, you know, halfway in and expect to walk all the way out with your wallet full of cash, right? You could be at the right ATM with the right card and the right account and the right name and the right PIN, but unless you go all the way in, you're not pulling anything out. And so it is with God. And, you know, I was just really excited to see, you know, to hear Adrian's testimony. And Adrian also came and had a chat with me before service and said, I've been up all night, he said, just as God's been speaking to him. And he just began to share with me a number of things that, you know, he'd written down. But, you know, the reason why he's having that kind of an encounter is because he's going all in. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't. You could be saved, and he's only been saved for, you know, probably, coming up to about 9 months, I think. But even before that, you know, God was just moving in his life. You know, God is no respecter of persons. In fact, if you've been in the faith for a number of years, you're actually at greater risk of going stale, getting rigid and old in your faith. You know, I'm talking about going all in. I'm talking about going all in. And I just want to say that you cannot fully follow Jesus at a distance. We can't fully follow Jesus at a distance. In Luke chapter 22, verse 54, it says, then seizing him, talking about Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. And it says, and Peter followed at a distance. Hey, listen, Peter was still following. He's still following, yeah? Okay, Jesus is heading in this direction. And Peter, he's still following, but he's following at a distance. He's keeping his distance. He's not wanting to get too close. And eventually, because he followed Jesus at a distance, he ends up denying who Jesus even is three times. And I want to say that is the destiny of those who follow Jesus at a distance. You end up even denying that he exists. You may not, you know, necessarily deny him like Peter did verbally, but we deny Jesus through our actions. We deny Jesus through our thoughts. We deny Jesus through what we don't do instead of what we do. You know, when it comes to anxiety, fear, when it comes to worry, when it comes to faith, joy, and peace, they're like compartments, yeah? And we all have compartments. And history tells us that one of the reasons why the Titanic actually broke in half was because of compartments in the hull of the ship. Now, we all know that the Titanic hit the iceberg, but it was one of the compartments, because there were compartments lined up throughout the hull of the ship. And they say if there were no compartments, The ship would have at least stayed afloat for a lot longer because the water would have evened out again in the base of the ship. But because there were watertight compartments, this is what caused the boat to tip up on its side and then break in half and sink faster than what it should have. And when we have compartments in our lives, the same thing can happen to you and I. We can break and sink faster than we had to. And this is why we gotta allow Jesus into every compartment of our life. I just want to invite you to stand this morning. Thanks, Ryan. What I want us to do, I just want us to sing for a few moments. Let's just sing this song and let's have a time of worship. We have time in this place. Amen. We've got time. So why don't you enjoy the presence of God as we just have a time of worship now. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.